following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Jonathan Ferguson is going to be sharing the word with you tonight, but I want to read a verse to you as he makes his way up here. You know, we've been praying for the Ferguson family for years in Nairobi, out in Kenya, and he'll tell you more about all that they've been doing, and he's got a Bible study to bring you as well, but I'm preparing this weekend to be a part of a couple of different men's retreats. I'll be here on the weekend for our services, but one on Friday night and one on Saturday. And the theme on the Saturday conference is standing firm. And I was thinking about different passages that talk about standing firm and trials and the fact that storms are promised to us. You should tell the person beside you, storms are coming your way. They're coming. The question is, are you ready for that? And I was thinking about this verse that I know is going to work its way into the message on Saturday for the guys out in Redlands. But it's verse 24 of chapter 20 in the book of Acts. And it says, after Paul's talking about all this stuff, the storms that are coming his way, and he says, I know it, I know it, I know it. The Holy Spirit makes it clear. He said, none of these things move me. None of these things move me. I won't change my direction. I won't change the disposition of my heart. I won't change my trajectory. I'm going to walk straight ahead in what God has called me to do. And when you get to be when you get the incredible privilege of pastoring and teaching and leading people and discipling all of that, just what the Lord allows me to do. I love the calling He put upon my life, but when you get to do this long enough, you end up where you, as you teach the word and you preach the word, you can attach a human story to almost every principle that you teach somebody else. And the Fergusons are one of those peoples that, for me, will always be attached to this verse, where in spite of what they've walked through, and no matter what they've walked through, they've said, whether or not they've said it like this or not, they've said, here we stand, standing firm in the middle of it. None of these things move me. I'm not going to stop following Jesus to follow some loser somewhere. And Jonathan, you and Adrian, your boys, have been an example of that. And we love you. And it's been a pleasure all these years to stand by you and watch what God's doing in you, through you, and upon you. Even to you, I guess you would say, in what you guys have walked through. But we love you and excited about what you're going to bring us tonight. So would you welcome Jonathan as he comes to share the word?
All right. Well, it's good to be here tonight, you guys. It really is a huge blessing in so many ways to be here and to be teaching from here at Refuge. It's been so long since I've had a chance to teach here. I mean, I was working with the high school ministry for so many years and then junior high for like 4.5. And it's just a blessing to be back and at home here. You know, it's funny that you bring up storms. Because that's where we're actually going to be tonight. If you open up your Bibles, we're going to be in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, where Jesus takes the disciples into a storm. And we'll see what happens there. But, you know, we all face struggles in our lives. We're going to face struggles all the time. You know, living right now as a first world person, as an American in a third world nation, one of the funniest things, honestly, is when people post up on Facebook and Twitter, you know, the first world problems, right? And if you guys don't know what it is, it's things that, you're looking at it going, oh, what a struggle. But in the big scheme of things, maybe not. Like you get to the gym and you remember that you left your headphones back at home. Oh, yeah, right? Or, oh no, the Wi-Fi's broken. I'm actually going to have to use my data on my phone to stalk someone on Facebook. Or the absolute worst first world problem, when you thought it was a chocolate chip cookie and it was oatmeal raisin, right? There's other struggles. I've got the clock that I've got to watch, right? The struggle to maintain on time, because I know that you guys all want to get home at a right time. And, you know, there's struggles with culture shock. When I came back there, you know, when I left America, things made sense here, I thought. I thought things made sense. And then I come back here, and now you don't need a key to start a car, and and Pot's Legal, and we have a reality star as a president, and my music I grew up listening to is now on the oldies station. Things don't make sense anymore to me. Well, tonight we are going to talk about struggles, but we're going to talk about a little bit of deeper struggles, the struggles that we face in our life, those real deep struggles. And you know, there are teachers out there, and I face them all the time in Kenya, that teach that if you're going through struggles, if you're going through difficulties, it's a result of sin, or you just don't have enough faith. Oh, you're sick? Well, it's because you don't have enough faith. I actually had somebody bring that up to me after Silas passed away. And it took everything within me not to punch the guy right in the face, you know? He must have had enough faith that I wasn't going to punch him for saying something so stupid. But, you know, we go through these trials, and guess what? Every one of us is going to face them. We all are going to face those storms. We're going to face them. We're going to get through them. And so we're going to take a look at this passage here in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 45, we see Jesus sending his disciples into a storm. Now, he had already sent them out. They had done great ministry. They had seen crazy things happening, people getting healed, demons getting cast out, and they were excited, but they were worn out. And so Jesus says, let's go away for a while. They go away, and what happens? We know the story. The crowds follow, and then they get hungry. And now they're feeding this huge multitude of people. So another full day of ministry, and then Jesus, he sends them away again, right? You think, okay, you got to go, right? You need some time. But he sends them right into a storm. Let's actually pray, and then we'll get into the text itself. Lord, as we open up this passage here in Mark, and as we study about the storms that we are all going to face, may you be glorified in them. May you be glorified in our lives and how we walk through these storms as you lead us there. Teach us tonight, Lord, that you are ever present in those storms. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we are. Jesus has just showed his disciples and the crowd that he is the bread from heaven, right? He's the bread of life. And then in verse 45, Mark chapter 6, verse 45, he leads them right into the storm. Look what it says. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out in the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. We'll stop right there. He knew what was about to happen. I mean, this is the God of creation. He knew the storm was coming. And my theory is, when I read this, that I think the disciples knew too. I mean, seven of the 12 were experienced fishermen. The others grew up, almost all of them, in this region. They knew what the weather looked like because it said that he made his disciples go. They're like, no, I don't think this is a good idea right now. And he's like, no, get on the boat and go. And they went. They went. They get out there and this storm hits. Now, Jesus had a purpose in sending them into the storm, and this will would be accomplished. The storm that was about to come, he knew it. He had a purpose. There was a lesson he was going to be doing as he's teaching them there. And you know, he does the same with us in our own lives. Romans 8, 28, I think we have the verse up for us. Romans 8, 28 says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. All things, God's going to work together, the storms and the joys, the trials and the highlights. He's going to work them all together for our good and for his glory. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 through 12, it says, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. Again, it says that he is going to work all things according to the counsel of his will. All things. Not the good things, not the fun things, not the exciting things. All things. He's going to work them all. You know, in our story, with my family and everything, this means that God knew what was going to happen with Silas. He knew what it would do to us, the pain that we would go through. And he said, I'm going to use this. And he's like, I'm going to use you in Silas's life, and I'm going to use Silas in your life. And it's been used. He has been used in this whole thing. God has ordained every moment of this. The good, the joys of bringing a son, another son into our family. The joys of the laughter. I mean, this boy had the most contagious laugh that anybody could have. The joys that he brought, but also those sad times of when he got sick and when we had to take him to the hospital. He ordained all of these things. He sent us into this, knowing what was going to happen. But he didn't just send us in there. He didn't just send the disciples out. He doesn't just send you into those trials. While we are there, he's watching over us. He's watching over us. Look at again in verse 48, where it says, he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. Now, according to the other, when you look at the other books, the other tellings of the story, we see that he saw them when it was about evening time. At about evening time, he saw that they were having some difficulties. But he stayed on the mountain. He stayed on the mountain. Jesus was there up on the mountain while they were going through difficulties. He's watching them as they're struggling and going through this difficulty. He knew what was going on in their lives. He knew what was going on in their hearts. The just being worn out that they would have been going through, that just the stress of all the ministry that they've been involved in, and God's having them do more and more. He saw them straining at the oars. He knew every tendon, every muscle, every vessel in their arms that was about to burst as they're pulling on those oars. Hours and hours of straining. They're barely getting anywhere. But Jesus has his eye on them. He's up there on the hill. He's looking down on them. An evening he saw them, but he doesn't go out to them yet. He waits until about 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay? So they're out there for like 6 hours just struggling, going nowhere. From evening till 3 in the morning. And they're pulling, and the wind is just coming at them, pushing them backwards. They're fighting to go forward. How many of us have felt that way sometimes when our struggles, when we're going through difficulties? Like you're just struggling, and maybe you feel like you're paddling that boat, and you're trying to paddle your canoe going upstream, right? And you're like, I'm going nowhere. In fact, I think I'm going backwards still, right? You're just out there, and you're struggling, and you're like, where is God when we're going through our storm? It's so easy to feel hopeless, to feel abandoned sometimes. It can feel like God has like gone away. And I'll be honest, it felt like that a lot when we were at the hospital. When Silas got sick and we took him in, things went fast when we were there. And he's in a lot of pain, and we're calling the doctors, and they're not coming. We're getting no help. We're getting no help as our son is going through pain and suffering. And I'm just asking there, sitting there asking God, why? Why? I feel like I'm just paddling those oars. Just trying to, what do I need to do now? What do I need to do now? Back in the text, Jesus is up on that mountain. He wasn't in the boat. He wasn't taking a turn pulling at the oars. He was up on the mountain, but what was he doing? He was praying. He was praying. He was interceding. Jesus had just finished showing the people of Israel that he was the bread of life, just like Moses brought down the manna. And now we see him as the intercessor. It's like when Moses was, you know, standing on the hill as they're battling the Amalekites. As long as Moses' arms were up, outstretched, the battle was going good down below, wasn't it? And so here Jesus is showing that he's the intercessor. But guess what? His arms don't get tired. He doesn't stop praying. Because it says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, that he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He always lives. He was up there on that mountain the whole time. They're down in the boat thinking, where's Jesus? We could really use him to calm this storm right now. He's up there praying for him. Why? Because there was a battle going on in their hearts. At that moment, they were battling unbelief and doubt. We see it later in the story here. They were struggling. But God was there watching over them and praying for them. So not only does God lead us into these storms, not only is God watching out, but then we see that God comes to us while we are in the storm. He starts walking out on the water to them, right? Look at verse 48. It says, he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out. For they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astonished, for they did not understand about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. See, they had been struggling about this. They're like, we wanted to spend some time with Jesus. And all these people come and show up, and we got to take care of feeding them. Their hearts were hardened. They didn't even understand that Jesus was teaching them a lesson. He wasn't just feeding the 5,000 guys and all their wives and children that were there. He was teaching them a lesson. And the disciples' hearts were hardened over it. You know, we think that, oh man, if we were there with Jesus, everything would have been great. I wouldn't have been like Peter. I wouldn't have denied, right? His heart was hardened after that night. He had just saw 5,000 people getting fed, and his heart was hardened. Jesus leads him into the storm. He's watching over them, and he comes down to them. He's walking out onto the water with them, okay? The waves, the wind, not a problem when you're the creator of the entire universe. He's walking out there. You know, I love like science fiction. I love fantasy. And you know, when you get into some of the fantasy books, they always have cool names for some of these characters. You know, so-and-so the Brave, or, you know, Thorin Oakenshield, right? And here you got one for Jesus. He's the storm treader. He's the one that walks out. He's just, there's a storm. Pfft, who cares? Let's go. Let's get out there. And he walks out on the water. He just, okay. And I love the image. He's going to just pass them by. Hey, guys. They're rowing and rowing, and Jesus, hey, guys. Hey, Peter, how's it going? Just walk right by them. But they freak out, of course. They have no clue what's happening. They think it's a ghost. They're so caught up in their own struggles that when something big is actually happening, they're blind to it almost. They're ready to give up. They're not going anywhere. And now they're seeing things. They probably are like, we're dead. We're dead. We got ghosts coming to take us. We're gone. They have no idea what's happening here. But look at this. He comes down off the mountain. Jesus is up there. He's praying. He comes down on the mountain, walks out in the storm, and comes to the disciples right there. Why? To bring peace. To bring peace to them. He gets in the boat, and the storm is gone. The wind is gone. The waves are gone. It's calm. Calm. In fact, I think it's in John where it even says that once he got in the boat and it calms, they were immediately where they were supposed to be. So they've been rowing hours and hours and hours. They're in the middle of the lake. He calms the storm and the boat is docked in Bethsaida. Talk about bringing peace and seeing you right through the difficulties. But here he is, the King of Shalom, the King of Peace. He brings his peace right in the storm. And I mean, that's when we go through storms, isn't that what we always pray for? For the storm to be done? I mean, come on, we always pray for that. We pray for deliverance. We pray for provision. We pray for healing. This is what we want. This is what we want. This is what these guys got. Jesus tells the disciples, don't be afraid. to trust, because the great I am, and that's really what he says, it is I. In the Greek, it's the same as when they translated the I am statements. He goes, don't be afraid. I am. I am here. I am here. The deliverer, the storm treader is arrived. You know, when we were at the hospital, and one of the lowest points, honestly, we've been crying out, why? Why? I spent a long time asking God, why was this happening? And God spoke to me at that point, and he shared, he reminded me really of a verse that we had taught our kids to had them memorize, actually, including Silas. He would sing along with the older boys as they sang Psalm 121. And we'll read it to you. It says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and coming in from this time forth and forevermore. You know, it's a pretty awesome verse to be given to the Lord in this time. And so here we are. We're crying out to God for help. And it says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. And where's Jesus even in this story? Up in the hills. And the help comes from there. Comes down to them on the boat. And brings them peace. We had no clue what was about to happen. At that point, I knew Jesus was there with us. And he promised to be our keeper. The keeper of life. He had Silas's life in his hands. So we prayed and we trusted God. We prayed for peace no matter what the result was going to be. And so we caught a nap at our friend's house who happened to live right across the street from the hospital, and we get a phone call at that point. Mr. Ferguson, can you and your wife come down in about an hour and meet with the doctors? We need to discuss what needs to be done moving forward. And so we go in and the doctors share what's going on with Silas and basically say, there's nothing more that we can do. There's nothing more that we can do. And we need you guys to say it's okay if he starts going, to let him go. Let me say that there's nothing that prepares you for that. There's no amount of missions training. Get up and go doesn't cover that stuff. They don't prepare you on those things, right? I mean, if you guys, nobody prepares you for this. We had prayed for peace, for healing, but Silas died. He died. And there was peace. But it wasn't the peace that we first expected, the peace that we thought, right? It's different. We were hoping and still praying for that miracle. And then when he died, it was like, all right. You know what? The storm was still raging on. We had to tell our kids. And we had to make all these arrangements. And we're in another country. I don't know how all this stuff works. Facing deep grief. Where was the peace? Where's the calm? I thought, Jesus, when you're here, you're supposed to calm. That's what you did. You calmed the storm. And we're still in the storm. You know, in Mark, it doesn't share this passage, but in Matthew's story, in Matthew's version of the story, we get a little bit more of what happens, right? In Matthew chapter 14, if you turn there, in Matthew chapter 14, in the same story, Jesus doesn't first get into the boat. We know that somebody has a little interaction with Jesus at that point. Starting in verse 28, it says, Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you out on the water. And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. You know, Peter often gets, well, really picked on. He's, in a way, bullied almost from the pulpit a lot of times, I think. I mean, think about it. We give him such grief, don't we? Peter, Peter, Peter. You denied Jesus? Peter, 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 why did you pull out that sword? Peter, 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 why did you take your eyes off Jesus? You know what? I like Peter. Peter was real. They don't hide his mistakes. They don't hide his failures. But you know what? Yes, he did these things. But I got to tell you, I'm just as much of a knucklehead as every one of these disciples here. And let's all be honest. You guys are a bunch of knuckleheads too, right? Okay, yeah, everyone. Okay. Peter had great faith in this story. We always focus on the fact that he took his eyes. No, he got out of the boat. He looked at Jesus. He looked at the storm that Jesus was in, and he goes, if Jesus is out there, I can be too. It must be safe if Jesus is there. If Jesus is there in the storm, I can be there too. That's where I want to be. There's Jesus. I want to be there. I mean, he's struggling in this boat. He's one of the trained fishermen, and everyone knows in a major storm, you don't leave the boat. Even if it capsizes, you don't leave the boat if there's a storm going on. You stay. He jumps out of the boat to go to Jesus. His faith in Christ called him out of the boat and into the worst of the storm. He didn't just say, give me peace, calm the storm, Jesus. He's like, hey, let me come out with you. And Jesus came to give him peace, but Peter trusted enough that he believed he would find peace, not from the storm, but in the very midst of it. In the middle of the storm, if Jesus is there, he'd be able to stand strong in the worst of times. He's like, Lord, if you're out there, I know I can walk through this storm and over this storm. And did he struggle? Yeah. Did he have doubts along the way in that storm? Absolutely. Guess what? We all do, right? Every time we go through a storm, we're going to struggle. We're going to go through these things, these moments of doubts. It's like a day-to-day thing with my family. We have a good day and a bad day. We have days that we're like, all right, we're trusting God. We know that this is where, you know, what's going on. And then there's days where we're looking around going, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we supposed to be doing now? But look what he does in that moment. He's down. He's fallen into the water. And what's the first thing he does? Lord, save me. He cries out. So even in his doubts, even when he was struggling there, he's like, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately grabs him, pulls him right back up. I don't know what struggles you're all facing right now, if you're currently in a struggle, and if you're not, you're going to be going into one. I guarantee it. I don't know if you just came out of one, if you're in one, or you're going to go into one. If everything's going great, be prepared and pay attention. The storm's coming. Are we going to trust Jesus? And when those waves start crashing, will we cry out to him? If God is the one that led him into the storm, he leads us into the storm. He saw those guys out on the boat, and he sees us in our struggles. And he comes out, and he's going to bring us peace. Now the question becomes, do I have faith enough to join Jesus and experience his peace in the midst of the storm? In the midst of the storm that seems so threatening, so overwhelming. You know, we should be rejoicing in our times of struggling. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 5 says that not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Rejoicing in our sufferings. Think about that. Knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Suffering can lead to hope, and hope doesn't let us down at all. Hope does not let us down. And in fact, in Hebrews, it describes hope as an anchor for our soul. Now, I love this picture, right? I was wondering about this. Would you really want to drop an anchor in the middle of a storm if the waves are rolling? You know, if you only have so much give on that rope and the waves go higher, guess what? It's going to crash right over you, right? But this anchor doesn't go down to the bottom. It goes up to heaven. It keeps us afloat. That anchor, it says, is in the very heavenly of in the holy of holies, past the inner veil. It's in the very presence of God. Where is our hope anchored? In Christ, in God. So the storms may rage, the storms may just crash, but we're anchored still. Great thing about being anchored up, you can't sink too far down, can you? In his book, A Grief Observed, C.S. Lewis, writing after he lost his wife, writes, he says, "We were promised sufferings. They were part of the program. We were even told, 'Blessed are they who mourn,' and I accept it. I've got nothing that I haven't bargained for. Of course, it is different when things happen to oneself and not to others, and in reality, not in imagination. It is difficult. It's one thing to hear somebody say, 'Stand strong and you know, God's going to see you through it.' But I had people come up. Actually, there were two other Calvary Chapel pastors out in Kenya, two Kenyan pastors who came up after the funeral and said, 'When I lost my son,'" both of them, "'When I lost my son,' guess what? I immediately was like, 'Yes, please tell me what. Please tell me. What happened? How did you deal with it?' Other people, it's okay. I'm like, I know God's good, I know. But when somebody's there and has been there, you know, it's easy to listen to. We've walked through this, guys. And I'll tell you that God is good. God is good. The struggles we all face, they're real. They're real and they're very scary, but Jesus sees you in your storm. He sees you, whatever that storm is. He sees the depression that you're struggling with. He sees the bills piling up with no way to pay them off. He sees you when the doctor says, "We need you to come in to talk about these test results." He sees you when you cry over your prodigal son or daughter or family member that's walked away from the Lord. He sees it. He's there with you. He sees you when you're getting bullied at school. And all these struggles that we go through in life, he sees them. He's praying. He is interceding for us during those times. And he is there offering you peace. He's coming out in that moment saying, "Don't be afraid. It is I. I am here." Will you trust him in those storms? Will you rely upon him and say, "Lord, I need your peace. Lord, if it's you, lead me right into that storm." His peace is there, even in the storm. Step out. It's a crazy ride, but with Christ, there is peace. Let's pray. Lord, as you were there for the disciples in this boat, be there for us as we go through the struggles. Lord, we trust you through those difficult times. We trust you as you lead us into the storms we need to face. Guide us there. We continually, Lord, are facing so many struggles and we need to know that you are there. Give us that peace. Lord, just in our moment of weakness, come to us. Reveal yourself to us. Help us to trust in you in those moments. Help us to trust in you and to find peace in the midst of those storms. Help us to be like Peter, to have faith to say, even in the middle of the storm, if you are there, that's where I want to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.